Performing live comedy is often seen as a young person's game. So when our friend Amanda Cohen, who works part-time as Mrs. Claus during the holidays, shows up for a gig, she's often confused for being one of the comedian's moms.
Longtime listeners of Feast of Fun will remember Amanda Cohen as the squeaky-voiced Amanda Steinstein, who commented on all the strange news. She is also hailed as the third most challenging transformation on the reality TV show What Not to Wear. Amanda is now happily living in Los Angeles, where she's a rising star in the comedy scene.
Today, Amanda Cohen joins us to talk a little bit about the history of women in stand-up comedy and why TV shows like the marvelous Mrs. Maisel do a disservice by mixing fictitious characters with historical comedians like Lenny Bruce.
Plus, Japan's Penis Festival is huge, celebrating its 50th anniversary.
Hugh Jackman says he has no idea what he could do to further cement his gay icon status.
Miley Cyrus isn't fooling anyone with that cheap beard.
And the Umbrella Academy gets renewed for a second season. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Right now, we need your help. After many years of creating podcasts and videos you love, our dear computer can't take it anymore and is ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky. It is heartbreaking to be in this situation.
Visit GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer right now and give any amount. Help us reach our goal of saving the show's podcasting computer. Every dollar you give goes directly into making Feast of Fun last for years to come. We know we can count on you to make a big difference and continue the show. Thank you for loving Feast of Fun.
Thank you very much. Once again, the link is GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer.
Are you talking about your upstairs neighbors or having sex all the time?
No, I don't have any upstairs neighbors, but they're next. I mean,
in the duplex next to you in LA.
Well, just it's not a duplex. Sex. I live in a building with like 47 units in it, but it's only three stories, mm-hmm. and there's not a lot of insulation because there's no cold. You know, there's not any severe coldness there.
So the sound comes through.
So the sound comes through real good. Yeah.
Well, maybe they're sex workers, and so that's
no. They would be making some noise. At least one of them would. But it's like the exact same meter every time.
So they're vanilla as well.
That suggests to me that it's the same two people and it's the same thing every time. And I don't hear. I think they like think they're being subtle by not making any sounds. Yeah. Either that or it just sucks and they're just doing it by rote and it's just.
She's trying to get pregnant.
Hey Amanda, tell me about the present you brought me.
The pen?
No, the what? Other one. What the other Tom one? Something Tom.
What, this?
Yeah, you were like, oh, I got you something, Tom. And you were like, oh, yeah, Tom of Finland.
Yeah, no.
Tom's of Maine.
Where did this come from? I don't even know where this came from. I'm not.
That is a gift from Owen, and it's a Tom of Finland kind of thing.
Right, because I saw Tom of, and I went, what, Tom's of Maine is getting into soft porn?
The toothpaste guy.
Yeah, the toothpaste guy's doing soft porn now. Mm-hmm. And, different Tom.
I guess Tom's of Maine is a brand that they sell in, like, health food stores.
It's a nature...
have fluoride in their toothpaste.
Yeah,
which is a terrible idea.
It's a natural alternative.
A lot of people are against fluoride.
Yeah, anti-vaxxers, that's who.
Yeah, right?
Hey, guys, for folks who have been listening to the podcast for years and years and years, you guys may have very fond memories of a certain gal we met through Craigslist, of all places.
Ooh,
Amanda Steinstein.
Oh, hi!
Became part of the Feast of Fun back when it was Feast of Fools.
I still have Feast of Fools merch. Is it worth something on eBay?
I don't put it up there and see. Maybe someone will buy it. You know, Fausto did have these Cock is Cool t-shirts that he had from the 90s, and he ended up selling them for like $80 on the, and people bought it.
Wow!
Well, you know, it had Fausto's
penis
on it.
Can I not do the voice?
Amanda.
It hurts you, it hurts us.
So Amanda found herself on a reality TV show, What Not to Wear.
Found myself. myself.
What do you mean? Surprised.
Found
you were surprised by that.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
And when everyone asks, like, how did you end up on? How did you get to do that? I go, the same way everyone else does. My two gay friends set me up for it.
And so, and Amanda, you know, had mixed feelings about that anyway. Since
no,
then,
I had a, I, but
well, because you enjoyed the clothes that you got.
I had a great time. I fought them every step of the way, but I had a great time.
You said it like almost ruined your life. On the podcast, you can listen to Amanda speaking about it. Was a very mixed feeling.
And strangers coming up to you on the street and be like, wow, well, I see how nothing's really changed.
Well, that was, yeah, that hasn't happened for quite some time, partly because I changed my hair. And I'm also seen in those Hawaiian shirts less because I'm face painting a lot less these days.
Because you moved to Los Angeles.
Because I moved to Los Angeles.
And now you're a hotshot stand-up comedian.
Well, also, there's a lot way better face painters than me out there that charge less. So it's hard to compete. And, yeah, I mean, as much as I love it, if I'm going to be driving 2 hours to work, I want it to be for comedy. So, yeah.
And for a lot of people who get involved in stand-up comedy or drag or anything that, you know, requires a lot of enthusiasm and the ability to drink copious amounts of alcohol.
Yeah.
It's usually it's an art form for the youth. And so when they see you, who's a silver-haired fox, like, coming to the gig,
so sweet.
They think... You're somebody's mom.
They always think I'm somebody's mom. I literally have made a pin that said nobody's mom because whenever I walk into a comedy club, they assume I'm there to see my son perform. And that was, I mean, it was the same thing before L.A. when I was in Chicago because I only started back up in Chicago in 2015. So I looked basically like this. And again, nobody would, you know, would even notice me or even see me walk in the building. And they would just assume I was there to see my son perform. And then I would do a set and occasionally it would go well. And everyone would be, I like to think, pleasantly surprised. And it's the same kind of thing. I go to clubs where I've never been, shows I've never done. Nobody even notices me there. And then I do a set and they're like, oh my God, you're one of those. Okay. And I did a show a couple weeks ago in the middle of California. I'm embarrassed to say the name of the town.
Why?
Fresno.
Does it sound dirty?
Oh, no. Fresno's easy. No, it was Coalinga.
Which I think
Conalingus.
I think they pronounce Kalina, but they're wrong. It's Coalinga.
And
yeah,
that sounds like something dirty.
It does. It really does. It literally
Cucamonga
referred to the tongue of coal that they were mining.
Oh,
so it was a coal town, then now it's an oil town, but it's still called Coalinga. So I was there. And I found out after the show that one of the guys in the audience thought I was security for the other two comics. Now, to be fair, I'm wearing what I usually wear, which is my black pants, my black jacket. I've got about six of these.
Did you have your gun with you?
I did not have my gun with me.
Okay.
That's a whole nother story we can get into. But
you're a member of the NRA?
Actually do have a gun?
I don't know. But I had a great time shooting a gun one time.
Okay.
And went back to do it again. They wouldn't rent me a gun alone. I had to have a buddy.
Wait. So the first time you were able to shoot a gun, it was okay? And
no,
then
I had a friend with me.
Okay.
I had a guy who'd been a gunner in the Navy.
Okay.
My friend Dennis. We had a great time. You know, bang, bang. Which, by the way, you want me on your zombie team. Trust me.
Okay. So you're good.
When the apocalypse comes,
Well, you know that part of the zombie movie where they hand a little old lady a 9mm and go, do you know how to use this? And she's like, yup, that's going to be me. That's going to be me. I thought it was. I actually went back to try it again. I need to take the course because I need to take the safety course because I could not remove the bullet from the gun without shooting it out.
Damn. So,
or hurting yourself.
Yeah, so I got to go back to training.
So have you ever sort of taken advantage of the fact that people think you're the sweet old lady? And be like, I'd like to get a Diet Pepsi for free if you don't mind.
Well, no, I never had to do that because I would just, you want a Diet Pepsi for free? You go to the bar and go, I'm the designated driver.
Of your own car with you as the pet.
Not the point.
Normally I have a booze hound.
Just tonight I can't drink. But the thing is, bless bars, they will respect a designated driver. Mm-hmm. And they'll hook you up with a soda. But I'm trying.
Is that the case?
Not
I'll have a very expensive ginger beer, the $7.50.
No, God, no. No, my
it's only well drinks that you get for free.
Yeah, no, my drink of choice is a soda water with a splash of cranberry.
Mm. Ooh, how thirst quenching.
Keep your urinary tract clean.
My urinary tract is in good shape, thank mm-hmm. you.
I heard that the regular cranberry juice doesn't do anything because it's high in fructose corn syrup. And it negates the benefits of the cranberry juice.
You're asking a girl who's literally had one UTI in her whole life. So
I've had a UTI. It's okay. Not fun.
What haven't you had?
What haven't I had?
No,
anything, really. No, guys, I am clean. I am pristine down
Honey,
there.
I'm an early adopter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Of STIs.
STDs. What are STIs?
No, STIs is the new STD.
We say STI because what you get is an infection. So it's really because you don't have a disease.
Oh,
when you get gonorrhea, you have an infection.
You have infection. Okay, yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah. But I still like STD, though, because it just
says... It's old-fashioned.
I'm an old-fashioned kind of a girl.
That's why they think you're someone's mom.
I don't care. The thing is, the first 3 minutes of my set, even if I'm only doing a three-minute set, is basically dispelling all the myths mm-hmm. or all the assumptions people make about me when I walk on stage. Like, lately, the first thing I say when I walk on stage is, thank you very much. I am not a lesbian. Thank you. because people assume somehow, and that was, I've never understood. People assume, number one, that I'm a mm-hmm. lesbian. Number two, that I'm a mom.
So then you must be a cougar then.
No, I'm not a cougar. Cougars are a myth.
What do you mean they're a myth?
They're a myth created by stuff like that song.
Marketing.
What is that song? Stacey's Mom.
Yeah.
If you're over 30, Stifler's uh-huh. Mom.
Yeah.
If you're my age, Mrs. Robinson.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I know. Cougars are... Here's my feeling about cougars. This, by the way, is like... I talk about this stuff on stage. Because it's very much, you know... It's, all of it is stuff that is assumed of me. Therefore, I address it. I can't be a cougar because I'm just not into guys that young. Because guys that young don't really get what's going on under the shirt here. Because there's a lot of suspension of disbelief. So I don't mess around with younger guys, really.
You just keep the bustier on and stuff.
Aren't you just saving yourself for marriage to Steve Carell? Isn't that what you're doing?
Ew. Why would I... Where the hell did you...
Who are you? Where's the real Amanda Cohen?
No, what are you... Did I talk about having...
for years how hot Steve Carell is, that you think he's the only sexiest man in the world.
What?
That you would only have sex with... Listen on the podcast,
Get me the tape.
On episode 467.
Yeah, you lie like a throwback. Okay.
4-year-old version. I'll take care of that.
Okay. I may have said something along those lines.
You were so hot at one point in time for Steve Carell.
Maybe. Okay. Not denying that I might have been at some point, but I'm over that now.
So who's your now, like, your ideal male?
Who's the crush?
In entertainment.
Oh, gosh.
Who's getting you
moist?
The
thing is, I can't say because I might run into them now that I live in Los Angeles.
Now you have the politics.
Oh, let's go with Jeff Goldblum. I mean, that's a safe answer. He's a little skinny for my taste, but I love him.
Tall, though,
don't
right?
say Johnny Depp.
Why would I say Johnny
anymore?
Depp?
People, not you, but I mean, other people are like, used to be like, oh, I think Johnny Depp's so hot. And then, of course, you know, all this negative stuff came out of him.
Yeah, I just added a joke about him to a bit I do about pirates and how people shouldn't have these parties where kids dress up as pirates. That you shouldn't be glorifying pirates like that. Pirates are a little rapey. Not every pirate is Johnny Depp, although some of them... don't rape. So I guess they're not like Johnny Depp, you know. I'm working on the wording. Working on the wording for that one. That
sorry,
one
is... sorry if we put you on the spot.
No. I'm working on
sure,
it.
Sure listen, when you're on the step.
I will go to the grave for a good joke. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
here's, on my deathbed.
Here's one I'm working on. Yeah. This is a... you've met my mom. She's been here on the podcast.
Lovely
I
angel.
Love my mom. I love my mom to mm-hmm. death, which is any minute now.
How old is she?
Old enough to know better.
Okay.
Well, look at me and extrapolate from known data. That's really all you have.
Well, she had you when she was very young, and she has that sort of a youthful spirit. She's a child, a love child of the 60s.
She was 32 when she had me.
My
mom was in early trials for IUDs. So my brother and I were very much planned children, which is one of the reasons I'm such a big advocate of abortion rights and choice rights and birth control rights, because my brother and I had the luxury of being
wanted.
Wanted, yeah. as opposed to, oh, I guess we're having a kid now, which is how very many kids happen. Mm. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I believe everyone should have the right to choice.
Yeah. And Mark and I come more from the mindset of, you know, the marriage happens, the penis goes in, 30 years later, the penis comes out, and several hundred children come out with that.
Speaking of UTIs, God.
It's like, is it in yet? Is it in yet? Is it out yet? Is it out yet?
Okay, you guys have a very different concept of marriage than I do, but then again, I've never been married.
Yeah, my mom had 8 kids in 10 and a half years.
God bless her.
You know?
My mother had five pregnancies in the time that she was married to my father, which is very, I think it was 10 years?
Margaret Sanger had, I believe it was 11 pregnancies and 5 kids or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And, oh no, it was her mother. Her mother had many pregnancies and a few kids. And then she finally stopped having children because she died.
I had an ancestor who had 18 children. She gave birth to 18 children. So many kids that those kids, the men in the family, created a baseball team. And they did exposition baseball games. And they would play the Detroit Tigers and beat them.
Wow. That's not a question of a lot of kids. That's a question of good at baseball. Then again, that was like the turn of the century. What were the Detroit Tigers at the time? Kids, teenagers?
Those are people with the broomsticks.
Yeah. This is like, you know, 1910s, 1920s.
They didn't even have baseball bats in this. They call it stickball.
Stickball.
Not baseball.
So now you're sort of a rising star in the L.A. comedy scene.
Yeah, tell L.A. that. I would love to hear that.
And they, you know, every single comedian we talk to, even the ones that are, you know, on television and stuff like that, they're like, I'm still struggling. Well, and it's just like, oh, my God.
That's the thing. Like,
you'll never be happy.
Well, that's just it. If you are happy, then you stop growing.
And then you're not funny anymore.
Exactly. I mean, I know plenty of comics who will do what I consider to be an amazing show, but if you tell them, hey, great show, 9 times out of 10, at least in their head, if they don't say it, they're thinking, oh, this is a fucking crap show. But you learn at a certain point to just say, thank you. Great show. Thank you.
Are you familiar with Julia Cameron? She's famous, Julia Cameron, for a book called The Artist's Way.
Oh, yes, I know that book. Okay.
And one of the tenements of The Artist's Way is this myth that artists, entertainers, comedians, filmmakers have to suffer for their art. If they're not suffering, they're not happy.
Well, suffering is different from deciding that your art is where it needs to be.
Yeah.
The greatest artists can always improve. I mean, some of my very most favorite comics from 20 years ago are even better today. And it's a wonderful thing to see. And again, something I get to see in LA a lot for cheap. If I may, for example, Maria Bamford.
Who's
coming to Chicago soon.
A Norwegian-American.
Mark is now Norway!
I know. Oh, my God. Well, then why do you have Tom of Finland here? That's different.
Yeah.
Because I'm a whore.
Okay.
He's a people person and admires the male physique.
So I've been a fan of Maria Bamford for, like, ever. And whenever she goes on tour, well, first of all, are you guys going to go see that? Because her opening act is usually Jackie Cation, whom I absolutely adore. But my point is that Maria Bamford was great 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still writing all the time. She has notebooks and notebooks and notebooks, which, by the way, she throws away after she's gotten the material she wanted. But she does
go to
shows,
her dumpster, try and find
exactly.
it, and
they'd
be like,
this is the
stuff you need.
So she when she's getting ready to go on tour, she will work out her material. She'll work out her hour, and a lot of comics do this, you know, at tiny little theaters and tiny little spaces all over L.A., where they'll do, like, a Tuesday 2:00 in the afternoon show that you just kind of got to know is there, and you get to see them working on stuff. And she's Maria Bamford. She doesn't need to do that.
No, paid to speak at colleges and then takes that check that she gets and gives it to, like, students. She's here, I don't need this money.
She actually is. That's part of her current set, is talking about how that all came about. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. But yeah, she could wing it for an hour. She could just random, you know, whatever. But no, she really works on her hour, and she works on new material. Every comic I know who's really, in my opinion, good and professional is constantly working on their act. This is why that in LA, any given night, you can see amazing comedians for almost no money because they're just working out locally. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I mean, in fact, one of my pins, I've got the Super Serious Show.
You do sound like a little bit of like a late night infomercial. Do you like to laugh? Well, in LA, honestly, you can see comedians for almost nothing.
That, you know why? That's because that's my professional fucking voice.
With one weird trick, you can see these comedians.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for sounding like a professional on this podcast. I'll dumb it down for you. I'll nose it up for you, okay? If this is what you want to hear, then I will do.
I'm just saying that you're very enthusiastic about, you know, I don't know. It is sort of interesting that, like, it's easy to see all this great talent.
Yeah.
In a city that seems like it's almost saturated, right?
Well, that's the thing, is you get to take advantage of the saturation.
Yeah.
The problem we have is kids who spend all their time at open mics and never actually going to see professionals. So you get this weird feedback loop of guys who only know how to play open mics. And when I say guys, I mean dudes, men, boys, penises, because that's 90% of what's in these clubs anyway. So
there's not a lot of diversity. Because I'm seeing, you know, on Facebook posts from my friends who are women who are comedians, you know, talking about all these lineups, and it's just like all these comedians. Like, they only schedule men, or if they have a woman, it's like one woman out of the seven.
Actually, that is very common. I mean, I'm always online.
Is it because women aren't funny? Is that what it is, or what?
I'm not even going to respond. It's because you get bookers who either don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they don't.
Yeah.
They literally don't notice when they've booked an all-male lineup. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if they book women, it's an all-women lineup, and it's a big fucking deal, and free margaritas, or, you know, whatever. It's a big. But they never make a thing about, you know, oh, look, an all-male lineup. It just happens as though that is the default.
Well, I do notice this in this most recent election and an ongoing election for the president next year, is that a lot of people are sort of dismissing diversity as saying identity politics doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. I'm the opposite. I kind of go out of my way to not book too many straight white men.
But I think, you know, the way I like to explain to people is to not think of this as like, this is a female, this is a man, this is a Puerto Rican, this is a black person or whatever. Think about it this way. Think about, does someone experience matter? Does someone heritage matter? Does someone knowledge matter?
Okay.
And experience, heritage, and knowledge comes from being somebody that is maybe female or maybe gay or trans or, you know.
Well, the thing is, everyone or a lot of people are great with diversity in public, you know, in among people that they meet or see or work with. But in clubs, you usually have like one or two people, generally men, who are booking and making all the decisions. And some of them just say, oh, you know, the clubs, you know, the audiences don't like to see women, or I just book who's funny and they happen to think that men are funnier. And or there just aren't enough women out there to book. And what you'll see is a lot of these clubs, when they do book a woman, it'll be somebody with mega credits and all the TV, whereas the guy headlining next week has a, you know, a local radio show or something, you know.
So what's an effective way to combat that? What's a good solution to address? I mean, is there a solution?
Well, sadly, we have to wait till they die. Well, I mean, here's the thing.
Get them to change solution, their minds, can't you, or no?
Or start your own.
The problem is if you go to a venue and say, "Hey, you don't book enough women, you should book me," they're not going to book you because you bitched. But the thing to do is to go to smaller venues, go to smaller clubs. Like the major clubs in LA and anywhere really, they just don't focus on women. They might have an all women night, and they may have a couple of diversity nights of various colors and flavors. Mm-hmm. Great. But if you go to their headliner list calendar, dude, black dude, super famous girl. But if you go to the independent shows, the smaller shows, like the one I run every Wednesday night in Glendale at Gaucho's Comedy Lounge.
Where is that again?
Where is it?
Why, that would be Gaucho's Comedy Lounge in Glendale every Wednesday night. I co-book that. It's an 8 o'clock show.
I hit
no
the bell
cover.
So it subconsciously drills into my head.
Oh, is that what that bell is for? Okay.
That's a psychological
trauma bill.
Okay, here we go. Ready? One, two.
No, you have to say something.
I'm doing one, two, so you can edit it out.
No, you do the promo and then you ding.
Okay, well, hang on. I'm going to do it. Okay. Shh. Gaucho's Comedy Lounge every Wednesday at 8 in Glendale.
Yay!
See how effective that is?
Yeah.
It makes you totally like want to do it.
Yeah.
As a Jewish,
as I pull the bell away from her.
As a Jewish woman comedian.
Atheist,
but you were raised Jewish. No. Well, you culturally, you're kind of Jewish, aren't you?
Raised secular, yes, culturally Jewish. But okay. the word Jewish
your
has
heritage
many
is
meanings.
Jewish.
Okay.
Yeah, my hair is Jewish. You're right. It's a Jufro. It's a small Jufro. I agree.
What do you think of the Amazon Prime series, the Mrs. Maisel?
I knew it was going to. Didn't we talk about that last time?
There's some people that like, they absolutely love that show. And, they think it's wonderful.
God
and then other
them.
People are just like, there was no comedian like her ever at that point in time.
That's my problem.
There was nothing like that. And
yes,
so don't compare her to Joan Rivers. She's not Joan Rivers. Joan was not doing that material.
Yeah, when the show first happened.
So why do we all hate her now?
Okay, we don't all hate her. If you like her, that's great. A lot of people love it, and I understand it's like dramatic and you know, funny. And first of all, Jewish minstrel show. Okay, the characters are so over the top Jewy that it's not accurate. It's not even accurate.
And the lead actress isn't even Jewish in real life.
I don't even care. I'm just you know.
Oh, that is weird.
Like, is Tony Shalhoub
the Butch girl who plays the Christian? She's actually Jewish.
Is Tony Shalhoub Jewish?
He's he's Lebanese.
That wasn't the question.
Which is not lesbian.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah.
But okay, I don't think he's Jewish, but that's not the point. The characters they're playing are so Jewy that it's a bit much. But as far as comedy, okay, first of all, when it first came out, they said it wasn't really like Joan Rivers, it was more like Jean Carroll. Google Jean Carroll, that's two R's and two L's. You've never heard of her. She was brilliant, but she quit comedy because she had to help, you know, raise her kid who had become a teenager and needed more support. But first of all, that's the opposite of what normally happens. But she happened in like 1952, 53. Joan Rivers started happening around 1962, 63. There was nobody doing what this Maisel person did in 1958, which is the year that it started when it took place. Not only was there nobody doing it, but even if there had been somebody doing it, there's no way she could have gotten away with that riffy kind of observational shit. Nobody did that. Not even men were really doing that.
Well, it's like a comedy that's popular today.
Exactly.
But being portrayed as if it was popular back in the day.
It's interesting how something like comedy, we think of as like, we're just going up there and being
universal.
Funny and telling jokes. And
yeah,
it's
what
universal. It's going to be the same throughout time. But you're saying it's a real
different.
Shift in the
real
way comedy
shift.
Is done.
So different. I mean, I won't give you my whole comedy lecture, but I would tell you that at 1958, 59, whenever this is supposed to be happening, nothing like that existed. And on top of that, they had to invent characters who are women for her to interact with. Like the character that Sophie, who plays?
The big lesbian from...
The big butch lady. I love her so much.
Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch. I love her so hard.
Yeah, that's how Sue sees it.
There's a C in it. Yeah. Oh, yes, exactly. Well, I love her, and I loved her way before that stupid
from
show.
From The Fugitive. You loved her from The Fugitive.
No, I...
Being a scientist and googly eyes at Harrison Ford.
Are you on crack?
What?
No.
She was the Clorox bleach lady.
Oh, my God. No.
Jane Lynch was the Clorox bleach.
She was the bathroom specialist.
Okay, first of all, before that, she
was... Toilet queen.
She was the she was the frosted mini wheats person. Okay, that was the first time I saw her. It was a Christopher Guest commercial.
Okay,
and then in all the Chris Guest movies, she's amazing in all of those.
Yes, you never saw The Fugitive.
No,
she's from in the suburbs of Chicago.
Yes, she is. I love her the best though in A Mighty Wind.
She owns
that movie as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, so they created this character for her. Who is sort of based on a little bit of Sophie Tucker, a little bit of Fanny Bryce. Again, who would not have been out there doing stand-up in 1958. And then they created this other random woman for her to interact with. You know, so you could show women comics interacting backstage in a period when barely one existed. So that's all baloney. But then they have her interacting with Lenny Bruce, who's an actual comedian. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is it fiction? Is it based on reality? What is it supposed to be? Why not just create a, you know, Benny Luce for her to interact with? Why did they have to invent women and use an historical man?
So you're saying like the drawback of this show,
absolute
Maisel,
lack of, okay, let me put it
to this, is
that
it blurs reality and it robs us from the actual rich history that we have.
Exactly. There is a brilliant history of, mm-hmm. of women in comedy, and this isn't it.
So you're saying her observational humor wasn't being done back then. When did that type of humor start to enter into the comedy world?
More into the 70s, late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. Here's very loosely the arc of comedy. It went from stories, like, story jokes.
I went to those.
It was a guy goes into a bar, and then here's the interaction. Guy's out with his wife. Two guys are playing golf. Those kind of jokes. And then it became, it's like, I was at this thing, and this happened. And this happened to me, and I was out, and can you believe this happened? And then it became, can you believe these things that I've noticed? That, mm-hmm. It became observational, like in the 70s, 80s. 80s height of observational. Listen to Carlin over the course of 50 years, and you'll hear it change. Mm-hmm. Although Carlin was always a little bit more character-oriented, but we won't get into that. But yeah, so 80s, you have more, how about these guys who, what's the deal? That whole thing.
Okay.
Then
Jerry Seinfeld.
Mid to late 90s. Yeah. Is what people consider the start of the alt movement. And again, for my friends listening, I'm doing air quotes. Alt.
Alternative.
Alternative referred to venues, not comedians. Like, let's put up a comedy show in the back of a library, mm-hmm. or a comic book store or a coffee shop.
Guerrilla art.
Somewhat, yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they had a rule that you had to do original material. You couldn't do stuff you'd already done before anywhere else. And so for a lot of comics, rather than, making more observations, they would tell personal stories or internally based stories rather than externally based observations. Mm-hmm. And comedy got a lot more personal.
Like so, Hannah Gadsby in her recent special.
Exactly. Okay. Which, by the way, she intended to be like her last show. She wanted to quit at that point.
And at this, we're talking here like in the early 90s, this kind of stuff started happening because it's like a performance art also became kind of an offshoot where people sort of in theater and in stand-up comedy and in activism were trying to use personal narrative to sort of like drive an agenda forward.
Right. Exactly.
So places like in New York, the New Eurekan Poets Cafe was kind of famous for this type of work.
I mean, and
Jackie Beat actually came of age in that time period.
Well, see, that's the thing. Yeah. It's always existed, like the whole Beat Generation thing was, the poetry and activism through poetry, that kind of thing. That's always existed. But now stand-up has a little bit more of that in it about, the personal stories.
Can I just stop you? So
no, you can't. You can't.
I want to hear this again, because this is a really interesting insight that I've not come across before, which is that personal narrative became more prevalent in stand-up comedy because people were being pressured or asked to develop new material, and observational comedy, which preceded it, was harder to develop new material for this.
Again, this isn't across the board. This isn't all comics everywhere.
It's a slow evolution.
But there was an evolution based on, the requirement to come up with new stuff.
Yeah.
And also, storytelling was coming up as well. And then the bottom fell out of the market in the 90s. Coincidence?
What do you mean by bottom felt? What? How so?
Oh, so many clubs closed. So many in the 80s and 90s,
so
we had one nighters all over the place. You keep, get paid $50 and get a hotel room to MC, which is out of hand.
So you had like places like 6th Street in Austin. They used to have music venues in the early 90s. There was a lot of comedy clubs back to back.
Every bar and Chinese restaurant had comedy.
Yeah.
And you can look up my articles from that era where I say exactly that, because it was true. I've played all the bars and all the Chinese restaurants.
Wow. No,
but many, many. But a lot of them disappeared. A lot of clubs disappeared. And then they're kind of coming back now, but they'll never be as much enforced because we have the internet. If you want to see comedy, you stay home and click.
And so are you seeing like people developing comedy material specifically for the internet, sort of like Vine videos and YouTubers and stuff
You can see clips of anybody anytime.
Mm-hmm. But in front of an audience.
You can see clips of me, Amanda Cohen. Just go to my YouTube page.
I think the best thing you've ever done is the PP Perfect ad.
The what?
The PP Perfect ad.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
If you
search that Amanda
I'm gonna have
PP
to look
Perfect.
It was a parody of the Easy Wipe. Remember, you basically put toilet paper on a stick to wipe your ass, and they're like, it's so convenient.
Oh my God.
I can wipe my ass with this thing. And so I'm just like, it was such a, they don't make those anymore, I don't think.
Comedian
Cameron Esposito plays a mother who likes to spank her kids.
Oh my God. Was I in a video with Cameron Esposito?
I think you are.
Oh my God. I got to put that on my IMDb.
You know, people actually say that look professional, and we made that with like an iPhone, and it was
and
like
some scotch tape.
Bill Cruz was on there. He's like,
oh yeah.
He's like, I don't even have to touch my penis now, which is great.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
So in terms of like the evolution of stand-up comedy, that since we started doing the podcast, right? We started this podcast as a need to promote, to draw attention to these live shows we were doing with you.
Yeah.
And
that was in a period when I wasn't doing stand up. I took a little break.
And so many like years. Rodney Dangerfield, you were like 10
Rodney
years?
Dangerfield.
I'm going to sell
let's say it
siding.
Was 10 years. Let's just say 10 years.
It was long.
But you were sort of like looking for other places to grow.
Well, I was doing Second City. I took the classes at Second City, and I was doing a lot of improv and looking for more places to perform because I mean
looking for new experiences.
Deep down I think I missed stand up, but I wouldn't acknowledge it, and it took me until 2015 to have the epiphany where I'm like, oh God, I forgot to do stand up.
We had a lot of friends who knew you from back in the day encouraging you to return to stand up.
Oh, who were they and why didn't they tell me?
I think Weird Al Yankovic actually was one of those people who was just like, you obviously love this, go do it.
Did he tell you that?
No, you were telling me the story beforehand. Or was that, maybe it was not Weird Al Yankovic, but it was one of those like A-listers names you like to draw up that you're friends with.
Okay, I don't think Al and I have ever discussed stand-up.
But you had somebody who was in L.A. who was like, you obviously love stand-up comedy, you need to return to this.
We were talking earlier about women having better memories than men. This is absolute proof that it's not true.
And I don't think you were in the PP Perfect video.
I did the voiceover, didn't I?
I edited it.
I think I did the voiceover. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. My right, God, people.
I don't see your face in it. That's
no,
why.
My face is not in that. No, okay. No, I would not
she
show
is in
my
the
face.
Video.
Okay.
So back to Mrs. Maisel. No.
So in terms of the evolution of stand-up comedy, I mean, we're sort of like on the same page with Maisel's. It's like, and a lot of these shows, it's tricky, and I think maybe that's why some people are like not... have problems with films and TV shows that use historical characters because they start blurring the lines between reality and it robs us of our actual history.
And there's so many great historical shows that I know are inaccurate. And I, you know, but women in comedy is the history I choose to defend because that is very personal to me. I started doing it a long time ago. I'd done a lot of reading and research, not like setting out to learn about it, but just because I was so curious about how it happened for other women. And
it's interesting that, like, you know, for a short period, Saturday Night Live seemed to be like helmed strongly with Tina Fey and other female comedy talents, where it was like it was the women's show, it was the women's space.
Yeah, and then about 15 minutes later was the U2 movement. You know, they gave women a little power, and then we started speaking out. And now they're afraid. Oh, I don't know if I can hire a woman. She
you said you too or me too.
What did I say?
You said
Me Too. I was like,
the YouTube movement.
I don't
I'm
like
sorry.
That music either.
The Me Too movement. Oh, can you edit that out? Yeah, edit that shit out. I don't know where my brain went. You know, we were discussing earlier about how women have better memories than men.
Well, there's a study. This is a study that came out that that actually neurons in your brain actually develop estrogen.
Yeah, maybe
their
your
own
brain,
estrogen,
not my brain.
And are very helpful in making memories. So a lot of people think of estrogen and testosterone as sort of like this binary that makes you a man or makes you a woman. But actually these hormones exist in different levels on everyone's bodies.
Yes.
And in terms of estrogen, it's understood to help with erectile. function.
Why isn't Viagra made of estrogen?
Because too much estrogen also affects your. It's just a smidgen of it.
Just a little taste of
it. Just a little tang.
You know, I was reading about how medical studies up until recently. Yeah. Completely never included women, and the health effects of women were just not studied because men are, as we know, the default of human. Mm. And
which is a huge disservice to everybody because we don't understand the balance of these chemicals.
Well, apparently Viagra could stop cramps, but they didn't care.
Because do you take Viagra to stop cramps?
I don't have to anymore, but if I'd known it did, I would have been on it a long time ago. And I don't care how long my boners would last because I used to be in so much pain so often. Mm-hmm. I never talked about it because...
Do you know women who are taking... Wait. So do you know women who are actually taking Viagra to deal with their menstrual cramps?
It never became marketed as such. Mm, I mean, maybe now they will, but there was just a documentary about women being completely skipped over by the medical industry for 100 years. That apparently one of the things that, you know, was suppressed was the fact that Viagra could stop cramps, and that would have been nice.
No, Amanda, real nice. You're a big fan of science fiction and fantasy, and your new favorite is The Umbrella Academy.
I just watched The Umbrella Academy. Okay, first of all, the music. Mm. The first episode, I remember it was the first or second episode, it had a song from They Might Be Giants. And I just flipped my lid because I freaking love them. And then another episode, they had my favoriteest Queen song, which is like so good. And then they had an Adam Ant song. I'm like, well, you just checked off all my music boxes. That's all I listened to as far as CDs. I mean, obviously, if they had Weird Al, I'd pee myself.
Well, because the Umbrella Academy supposed to take place in like the 80s, 90s or something?
You know what?
Nobody has cell phones.
It kind of takes place out of time. That's one of the things I love about it is they never specify the city, the location. They never specify the time. Although
the cars are all like 80s and
it's all 70s, all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit steampunk in the beginning, which has, of course, got my attention.
But the premise is that 43 infants are inexplicably born to random women who showed no signs of pregnancy.
Yes, you're literally reading the first few lines of the show.
I'm trying to explain it to the listeners.
It's the exposition from the show.
Who are wanting to know what they're talking about, right?
So
this is a Netflix series.
Yeah,
it's
based on two series of comic books from Dark Horse Comics, which is my, if I had a label of comics, it'd be that one. Because
And the author is from the band, is it My Chemical Romance?
Yes, it is. Gerard Way, I believe, is his name. And now I have to go back and listen to My Chemical Romance because I never did.
And so this sort of has an X-Men similar feel to it, right? Because it's this billionaire who's adopted seven of those kids to
that
start
was
the
my fear.
Umbrella Academy.
That was my fear, is that it was going to be all X-Men. And based on that. And of course, the beauty of X-Men and Marvel in general is that all their heroes have faults. They have problems. They're human. But this was not that. This is much worse than that. These guys are legit psychotic, all of them, in different ways. Mm. And long story short, they have been apart for many years. They're brought together. And a lot of it is in flashback of what they went through. And, you know, it's...
And they're trying to save the world. But
trying to save the world. But that's almost secondary.
So it's her hero, save the world, save the cheerleader, save the world.
It's got Ellen Page, who's, a gay icon. And she plays this kind of, like, mousy. She's the girl with, like, you know, she has no super. Powers.
I'm
she
not
was adopted,
spoiling anything.
You know? And so, like, there's nothing special about you, my dear. And so, of course, you know, when people tell you there's nothing special about you, there's always something special about you. So
but
you have
what
to
is
find,
it? What is it?
You know?
What is it? Watch the show.
And there's another character that comes out as queer as well, and so that's fun to watch.
The show is so... Mm-hmm. Queer friendly. It's, I mean, but now at this point, I wouldn't even say, oh, it's gay friendly. It's just how it is now. And I love that. I love that a show isn't like, we have a gay character. It's just, they're there.
So you're saying like that in this day and age, everybody's a little bit gender non-binary.
More like everybody is aware of representation of gender non-binary. Like,
well, this is a question I never asked you. Like you say you're not a lesbian, but you know.
I've thought about it.
Gender identity.
That's the thing. I think that growing up very aware of gender identity, you know, my best friend being a lesbian who is now a man, I learned about a lot of it early on, and I had early on many opportunities to question, and I 100% identify as a woman. And I don't care that I don't like wearing dresses, and I'm wearing a jacket right now, and that's just, you know, I've never associated how I dress with my gender or my sexuality. I am a straight woman, end of story.
But it's important to be able to define your gender on your own terms and not someone else's.
Right. I mean, I talk about that as well. I haven't done the bit in a while, but I talk about being misgendered all the time. I mean, I'm called Sir.
That's your drag name, actually, isn't
misgendered?
It?
Misgendered, yeah. That's everybody's fucking drag name.
Well, I was super excited.
By the way, if your drag name is misgendered or anything, just pick a new one, please.
I was very excited to see Tom Hopper in there because I've been watching him for a while. He was in a movie called Tormented.
And wait, who did he play Klaus?
He's the big guy. And so
he's so good.
But
they're all good. Right, everyone is so good.
But in this movie, Tormented, he bullies like a kid. I think he's a gay kid or whatever. And I think the kid dies, if I remember. And so he gets haunted by the ghost. So there's a scene of a very young, handsome Tom Hopper showering.
Okay,
naked,
I see where this is going.
And being attacked by this ghost. And so
I'm just picturing a little gay ghost. Yeah. Boo.
And so he's always been muscular and good looking, and then. I see, like, he's super big. And
You gotta watch it.
If you like transformations, you'll be like,
Transformers.
It's not even so much that. It's just, like,
Let me guess, that has something to do with the strength.
An extremely dark version of X-Men, but not X-Men. I mean, I don't know how to better explain it.
It has a film. It's very darkly lit.
A little bit of noir, a little bit of steampunk. It's definitely time travel all over it.
It's been just renewed for another season.
Oh, thank Christ. Cause there's a second book and I haven't read them yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we're like, wait, it can't end just like this.
Oh my goodness. Spoilers.
So, this spring is going to be the 50th anniversary of Japan's Penis Festival.
Yay.
Where they go around.
It's huge.
Huge. It's really big in Japan.
I wanted to go, but it's hard to get into.
And so it's the Festival of the Steel Phallus is what they call it. And now they say.
No. You got to say it right. The Festival of the Steel Phallus.
So they say that the festival comes to celebrate because long ago, a jealous, sharp-toothed demon hid inside the vagina of a young woman the demon had fallen in love with, and the demon bit off the penises of two young men on their wedding nights. So the woman went to a blacksmith who created for her an iron phallus. When the demon bit down on it, its teeth were broken, and the woman's fertility was restored.
Wow. I didn't realize how far back the myth of death Dentata went. That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I love that this dentata is blamed on an entirely different creature, not the woman herself who chose to grow the teeth.
And for people that don't know, vagina dentata is like a vagina with teeth.
Yes.
Because I guess they're born with teeth, right?
No, they're never. God fucking damn it.
People get teeth in different areas and stuff. Don't they get your teeth like they grow out of their skin?
In rare instances, very rare, dermoid cysts, it's a type of tumor.
A tumor.
It's not a tumor. May grow in the vagina. Dermoid cysts are formed in the outer layers of the skin cells. These skin cells are able to mature into many different types of tissues. Those cysts are able to form anywhere the skin is and may have a hard feel like a tooth.
Yeah, I don't think enough of that has happened to justify every man's fear of teeth.
But I think the idea is that the tooth vagina is
vagina dentata
is man being, I guess Camille Paglia says, is man's fear of being devoured by Mother Nature, by nature itself.
That's quite a stretch, I believe.
But it's manifesting this, cosmic fear of sex and femininity, and that people, in their mind create this monster that's inside between your legs, when in fact a vagina is soft and mushy.
Part of the patriarchy, just another way men fear women.
Well, it's an archetype of people. I mean, women pass this information too. It's this idea that like sex is to be feared, sex is bad, and your body, you shouldn't look at your body because women don't look at your vaginas because your vaginas might bite you too. And it's
wow, I never got that message, but okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think even until recently, like people didn't even were aware that the clitoris existed.
When you say people, you mean men. Women have always known.
Well, you know, the clitoris wasn't identified, and I guess to men.
Was. Medically, it was always there.
The history of the clitoris. I was learning.
I mean,
this
I know you have no reason to look for them, but they've always been there.
Clitoris.
Consider this. They go at least as far back as
Victorian times, right?
God, no, ancient. Okay. Think of all, you know, the tribes that did what they call female circumcision, but is in fact much, much worse.
Clitoridectomy.
A clitorectomy.
They're
yeah.
doing a clitorectomy.
Yeah, that's that goes back thousands of years. So yeah,
but it wasn't like seen as a vital part of the female body, and it was like
again yeah, says men.
Says men. Well, who else is going to say it? You know, it's not going to be women going to say that.
This is just one of those things where we're like, we have been saying this for fucking centuries. Will you listen to us, please? And not being heard.
And so as a consequence, there's all this like myth on what women's bodies can do and what they don't do and what they're about.
Oh, here's my favorite one. Yeah. I see. Thanks to the use of screen capture on Facebook, I've seen all kinds of things, including a girl who chatted with a gentleman on one of those stupid dating apps where the guy started berating her for having had multiple partners and started lecturing her with what his belief or he had been taught that women can't have sex with multiple partners because they have to find the one, and then that penis will shape itself to her vagina as they grow
they
together.
They bond.
He's trolling her.
No.
Nobody can believe
it. If you look at the screen grab, you see he completely believed that. This is why, but here's the problem. The myth that a vagina can get old and stretched out and flappy is baloney. Baloney. They look like baloney. Some are simply like that. Okay. I have a friend who thought she broke her vagina when from masturbating when she was little because she, she thought she had done it so much that she had made her vagina flappier. But that's just how they grow. And we have this myth of, you know, oh, she's such a party animal that her vagina's a mess. That's not how vaginas work. So guys, please. I mean, if there's any straight guys out there, don't think that.
Do you guys remember the episode we taped with you titled "Designer Vaginas"?
Again,
vaginal rejuvenation.
Earlier today, we were having a discussion about how women supposedly remember things better because of the estrogen. It's actually not true.
So it's Amanda did this hilarious bit. You guys can listen to it.
Designer
vaginas over and over
when
again.
When did I do that?
It was we're talking about.
I don't think that was
vaginal
me.
Rejuvenation.
Again, you got to provide a link to that clip. I'll play it for you.
It's designer really great.
Vagina.
See, look, exactly.
That doesn't sound like. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like me, but it doesn't sound like a thing.
Because it was all the rage, people were getting like the labia. Sometimes
vaginal rejuvenation surgery.
Yeah, so sometimes the inner labias extend past the outer labias, and that was like growing up watching. It was seeing Hustlers, seeing Playboy. It was a very common thing. It was like nobody like some people found sex, and then one day somebody decided that's they wanted those inner.
That is a sad period of American history. What? All right, the idea. Well, first of all, me saying anything like that, but the idea that any vagina needs surgery for anything other than repair after childbirth. God, thank you, God, for me never having gone through that.
Well, you can trust me, Amanda, that I'm not going to gaslight you and convince you that you said things or did things that didn't happen.
No, I believe you, but I can't believe myself.
I am tempted to be like, don't you remember that show where you're talking about how much you like Trump?
But they also, part of the vaginal rejuvenation, too, is to, like, sew up the vaginal canal entry so that like it's a little tighter.
Yeah,
like
it's called the husband stitch, and it's a problem because some doctors do it without asking the lady if she'd like to do that.
Do you guys remember this trend that was really popular that also we talked about with you is anal bleaching?
I remember that. That's still a thing.
You're not actually bleaching the anus. You're bleaching the ass crack.
The ass crack.
That's what
I don't understand why you would know. How could you even know the color of your butt? I've never seen my butt
photographed, and people look
people
at
can.
It.
So if you're like a porn star,
I could take a photo of my own butt very easily. I'm not gonna. I'm just saying
I should do that because it's like one day I'm gonna be looking at myself and be like, I wish I would take a photo.
What about all those guys that ask you, hey, send me a whole shot on those apps?
Is that a thing?
I never do.
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
I don't do it. I'm just like
men are disgusting.
I know they're
terrible.
They're pigs. So.
Yeah,
the worst, all of you.
I don't know if you guys saw, but Chick-fil-A had a commercial with these cows passing out these VR headsets. It ran during the Grammys. And Starship's 1986 song, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, was playing. Wow. And so people were like,
From the movie Mannequin.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, we can stay together.
Something. Oh, I remember.
Nothing's going to stop us now.
Okay.
And Jesus loves all the Christians, but not the homosexuals. At Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Is that how they add one?
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, Grace Slick, you know, who was the front person of the band, said, my first thought when Chick-fil-A came to me was, fuck no. I firmly believe that men should be able to marry men and women. I'm passionately against anyone who would try to suppress this basic human right. So my first thought was, fuck no. And so, but then she goes, so I'm donating every dime that I make from the ad to Lambda Legal, the largest national legal organization working to advance the civil rights of LGBTQ people and everyone living with HIV.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
But considering that Chick-fil-A takes some of the profits that they made from the ad that they license her song to give it to also political organizations that fight against LGBT rights, it's pretty a zero-sum game there, isn't it?
Well,
it's but you know what? She can use the publicity. Life. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Do you guys, I'll bet you guys don't know where you first heard Grace Slick.
No, tell me.
Sesame Street.
What?
And what song?
Do you remember the animated series?
They had a Sesame Street animated series?
No.
There's animated shorts. Yeah.
But they had a series for numbers, 1 through 10.
One, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No, before that, that was the Pointer Sisters. Before that, they had if you look it up on the internet, it's called Jazzy Spies. And it was an amazing punk sounding soundtrack. It was in 7/8, which is one of my favorite time signatures.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Those. She sang the vocals on that.
She's just 5 through 8 or all of them?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it now. I have it here.
Yeah, play it.
Yeah. Just hit that button.
Turn up the volume.
Volume's up.
Well, it's not
output.
It's not playing.
It's not connected to something.
Okay. Oh,
there it is. That's her. That's Grace. Two.
She was. They were this.
Two. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, and it's the guys with the spies, and they're opening their jackets.
Jazzy Spies, yes.
Yeah.
And I loved those growing up, and that is how I became a fan of punk rock. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I saw that they were Starship was my second concert. My first one was Def Leppard and Crocus, and the next one after that was Starship.
Oh, my God. Crocus. Wow. Not to be confused with Focus, who did the song Hocus Pocus.
Wow, you're crazy.
Look it up, kids.
Okay.
Hugh Jackman, another person we used to love to talk about on the podcast. Yeah. We don't talk about him much anymore.
Well, what's he been doing?
You know, having sex with men.
Wait, no, he hasn't. He's denying having sex with men.
Well, so he was interviewed recently at the New Zealand University.
Okay.
And somebody asked him what he could do to cement his status as a gay icon.
Wait, when did he become a gay icon?
Oh, since he ever first appeared, because he was very sexy.
Well, he played Peter Allen in the 2003 Broadway production of The Boys from Oz.
Okay.
And, you know, he's been very...
When I go to Rio.
Yep. I go to my baby.
Oh, my God.
And he said, absolutely no idea. I guess, you know, haven't I done enough?
Aw.
He still says everybody still rumors that I'm gay.
But you know what? At this point, do people still care? Does anybody care?
I just have the biggest crush on Hugh Jackman. But, you know, there's just always somebody younger, hotter, behind the stairs, ready to push you down. Just like in the movie Showgirls.
So who are you hot for now?
I don't know. I developed these little crushes on people on Instagram that nobody knows, you know? So it's like...
That's probably safer.
It's like microbreweries, you know? It's like you first grew up liking Bud or Miller or whatever, Cerveza Medalla, is for me.
Yeah, okay.
But now it's, you know, it's these little microbreweries that got you interested. Mm. It's kind of like our audience, you know. They love this podcast because we're
small,
sort of
like batch, handcrafted.
Yeah. We're a microbrewery. We're micro celebrities.
You're
for
a
them.
Micro podcast.
But with all the flavor.
All the rich body and
unique blend.
Rich bodies, indeed. Speaking of which, when are you going to do lifting with drag queens?
Oh, like going to the gym?
Yeah.
They don't want to even, like, you know, walk up the stairs into the apartment.
No. You go to the gym in full makeup and lift as drag queens.
You know, the problem with filming in gyms is that a lot of gyms won't let you film in them.
Well, and then there's music playing.
And then you don't have you have to ask them to turn off the music.
Okay.
Film when the gyms are closed.
Get a place that'll let you come in when it's closed in exchange for the publicity of the fact that lifting with drag queens is shot there.
I'll take that into consideration.
Yeah. I bet Cheetah Gym would let you. Oh, I'm sorry.
So you're the kind.
I bet a gym like that would let you come in and do that.
So you're basically like, you know, you're the kind of mom and you're like, I'm sad. And she's like, here, have a cupcake. You're like, jog around the block.
I'm missing a connection. How did you get to that?
No, it's that you're like more enthusiastic about exercise than you are about desserts and pastries. Because that's what we're doing now.
Trying to get there, yes. I'm trying.
It's hard. You're on a keto diet.
I love sugar so much.
Are you excited about the new Star Trek with Jean-Luc Picard coming out soon? Are you worried?
I'm over it.
We'll see.
I have not been watching a lot of science fiction that already, like, existing properties. I like new, absolutely different science fiction. You know, with Star Trek, you always know what you're going to get. I'm kind of, I don't need that. My thing now is watching low budget, high concept, cheap movies on, like, Netflix, where anything rated like 3 stars and under, things like, it looks like an epic science fiction and then you watch it and there's literally only 2 actors in the whole thing, but they discuss important science fiction topics. It's the end of the world. We're the last 2 people. Let's talk about how this came about. And I love that. I love those.
So it's more dialogue focused.
Well, no, just because they look like they should, you know, their special effects budget is burned in 5 minutes of the movie over the course of 2 hours. Mm. And everything in between is, you know, speculation and discussion. And I just find that fascinating that somehow those get made.
Like Bird Box?
Oh, God, don't get me started. Okay, let's talk. First of all, Bird Box, large cast. Bird Box was classic.
Bird Bath. I love that. Bird Box video of birds taking baths.
Classic is closer to classic horror and thriller in that it's not a big gore fest. Mm-hmm. And I like that. But I also like a fucking ending. That movie just stops. It doesn't end.
I describe my drag as Bird Box because when you see me, it'll blow your mind.
Oh, my God.
Make you want to kill yourself or other people.
That's just it. You never really see the monster. And yes, I get it. The monster is a thing that is created in your head by outside forces, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Show me the monsters. Why did they show up? What aliens? Why did they do this?
They came from the same dimension as, like, Cthulhu.
Well, that was the thing. I'm like, but... Okay, so they're elder gods.
They look like it when the guy drew them.
Right,
they look like something
that was my thought.
Very out of Lovecraft or something.
Right, but why couldn't they, you know, at least show somebody's vision of them actually happening? Again, low science fiction.
Your imagination is scarier.
Okay, that's a good point. But again, low special effects, high concept. Where's the episode where where's this part where they fight back and survive? All they did was get to somewhere they could hide. P.S. In the first 5 minutes of explaining, oh, it's something you see. I'm like, huh, what happened to the blind people? That was literally my first thought. And then that was spoilers. That's where it ended. And I was like, oh, okay. You have explained nothing. Where's the army of blind people rising up against, you know, the machine or the monsters or whatever? It's just, I was unsatisfied science fictionally with the ending.
Okay.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus, like Lady Gaga, is going to be on the premiere episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11. And like Lady Gaga, she's going to show up in costume to fool the contestants.
But they can't. We all know now.
Well, I mean, they filmed the
contestants.
The contestants when they were filming, so we're going to see the contestants reacting.
Oh, so this already
to
happened.
Her. Yes. Oh. It's not it's not in real time. It was filmed last summer. And so
I apparently don't get how reality TV works.
You were on one.
Ironic. You know, we were having this discussion earlier.
Your name is Amanda Cohen. You're not related to Michael Cohen.
Oh, thank Christ. Although, well, you know what? I'll tell you what. My dad's name is Michael. And it's getting very disturbing.
Oh, no.
Very disturbing turning on the radio and hearing what Michael Cohen said today. I'm like, not my dad.
He says he's very ashamed of what he did, and he apologizes to his children. You know, kind of like your dad.
No, he's ashamed of us, not for us. That's different.
So Miley Cyrus is looking really like in a really cheap $5 beard.
Her beard was dusted on.
It was just like, it was not one of those that you glue on. It's one.
She's not fooling anybody.
She's not fooling anybody.
It's painted on, and I know this because I've painted those before. I mean,
I just, you know, she, yeah. But and now she's married to that beautiful Liam Hemsworth. I'm so jealous. It was just like, I'm gonna push her out of the way and be like, he's mine now.
That's the thing. It's like, wasn't so Lady Gaga when she was on Drag Race 2 years ago, wasn't it?
I don't know if she was still with Taylor Kinney then. I think they may have already broken
up. I've been like, get away from her, you bitch. He's mine.
I saw him first.
Yeah. You know. And she's like, who? Well, I was like, I've been with 5 other guys since then.
Amanda, it's been a pleasure to visit with you again.
Oh, are we done?
Well, yeah, it's getting time.
Mark's ready. He's sick of it.
Oh, okay.
You know, we've been
I get sick of me, too.
We've been recording for an hour. I think that's, you know, it's time to kind of wrap things up.
Okay. But can I plug some shows?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Okay, not sure when this is dropping. I hope it's this weekend. Because next weekend, March 7th through 9th, I'm going to be at Stir Crazy Comedy Club in Phoenix, Arizona. Technically Glendale, Arizona.
Okay. Is that in the restaurant Stir Crazy? Or is that a different, like...
I'm not aware of a restaurant. I've never been there.
The Asian food franchise.
probably different. I believe this is a
Ponderosa Steakhouse next weekend.
I have played so many restaurants. You know, well, Gaucho's Comedy Lounge is located inside Gaucho's Village, which is one of those Brazilian meat sword restaurants.
Oh, all right, girl.
Yeah.
All the steak you're going to eat.
Oh, you have no idea.
You want shit for a week.
Okay, again, never had that experience with red meat. So, also, I never had that experience people claim to have with Taco Bell. People have, you shit your pants, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I've never, I think you got other issues if that's happening. So anyway, March 7th and 9th, I'm in Glendale, Arizona at Stir Crazy. March 4th, which is going backwards in time, sorry about that, but March 4th, I'm going to be...
Monday, right?
Monday, March 4th, I'm doing a show called Ruthless at Mickey's in WeHo, West Hollywood.
That's a gay place.
It's so gay. In fact, the comedy show is the warm-up for the drag show.
Okay.
So all y'all, come on down to Mickey's.
Did you come to Mickey's when we had that our first meet and greet there? I don't think you
No,
did.
I was at the one at the place that doesn't exist anymore.
The Akbar is still there.
Was it the Akbar?
Yeah.
No, we went somewhere that doesn't exist anymore. I want to say it was an Eagle.
She was at Mickey's, West Hollywood. I have fun.
Yes, you were at Mickey's in my college.
Okay, well,
before the fire.
Before, yeah, yeah. Okay, before the fire. But I thought the place that had the fire closed.
No, it reopened.
It reopened. Amanda was in there in the second one, the first one.
Okay, I remember I have photos of myself in the cage there. They don't have that anymore.
No.
Well, if you're coming back, they might put it there again.
If I'm really lucky.
The cage was at in San Francisco, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
the Stud. That was at the Stud, yeah.
Which is still around, and I believe the Stud now is owned by people from the community.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's real good.
It's a cooperative.
Is that what it is? I think it's something like that.
That's so gay.
That's so San Francisco.
No, but that's awesome.
And they still don't own a mop.
Is there still puke on the floor?
There's still puke on the floor. Well, they call it the Heclina Memorial Puke.
Oh, God, that's
horrible. She's alive. She went to the hospital weekend. She had a bit of a scare, but she's alive and well and doing well.
You know, I'm very grateful that we've known you for so long and that you were a regular on the podcast for years and that we're still here.
I can't believe I'm still here.
You know, and you were able to come back. And the reason why you're able to come back is because of all the wonderful people out there, the listeners who have donated money over the years. Right now, we do have a GoFundMe up at GoFundMe.com/Feast of Fun Computer to raise money
ma'am.
To replace some of our equipment.
Feast of Fun Computer? Was Feast of Fun already taken?
Well... Computer. I don't know.
Well,
it's specific.
Okay. Well, no, I just, whenever I hear somebody, you know, who has a number or some weird appendage on the end of their computer or anything, I assume it was because something else was taken.
It's easy, and it drives the point home.
Where's my handle on Twitter and Instagram, which is Amanda Cohen 27. That's AmandaCohen 27. Was not because there were 26 under other Amanda Cohens, but because of Weird Al, and fans will know why. So Twitter and Instagram, yay, Amanda Cohen 27, look me up. I have pictures and everything.
And so right now we are relying on your financial support to help us continue.
Let me tell you what I tell people at the end of a show when I'm telling them to tip the staff. If you leave here with any money in your pockets, you did it wrong. Please send all of your money to Mark and Fausto. Please, all of it.
We are doing a shout out to Dave and Anne, Laura, Rodrigo, who says, I don't have much time to go out, so it's great to have you two in my ear making me laugh and making me horny.
We are in your ears.
I can't imagine not having you two informing me and making me smile. You have taught me so much, and I really do appreciate you both and what you do.
Thanks for letting us in your ears.
And Leland says, keep up the excellent work, Mark and Fausto. I'm sorry I didn't mention you, Amanda. Had he known you were going to be on the show today, they probably would have mentioned
I just snuck into town.
I think they're Kirsten Chan and David Gordon, Roberto Marquez. You guys are the best. You've introduced me to great people who are doing amazing work in the world.
And also Amanda Cohen.
Amanda Cohen, / formerly known as Steinstein.
I love the people
it's
are also...
It's not Steinstein, just to the record.
Steinstein.
And I love the people Steinstein. Are also... like posting photos of themselves too. And Richard, I have to say, you're very handsome.
Let me see, Richard. Aw, cute.
Mm-hmm. He's not.
And Sven?
Yeah.
He's Sven. Not what?
He's not ugly. Actually, Richard's pretty damn. He's mm-hmm. a. Honey, and that's Drew. Not a snack. That's a meal.
And Michael.
Yeah, I'm a buffet, you guys.
All these smiling faces. Thank you so much.
And with ice cream.
And one of the best ways to support the show is to become a Plus member. And you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus. Just sign up and it'll go through PayPal. And when you get return from PayPal, make sure you choose the login now under upgrade option.
Is that the word plus, PLUS, or like a plus sign?
PLUS.
Yeah, because URL, PLUS. You can't do
I just wanted to clarify, because when I hear /plus, I picture a / and a plus.
And if you have any problems with your account, just email me at mail@feastoffun.com, and I'll help you out as best as I can.
Can someone explain what Tad wrote here? He said, don't kill the next one with porn.
I don't know what he means.
I'm not sure what that means.
Did you kill someone with porn? I mean,
you killed your computer with porn.
Oh.
You can't really keep a lot of porn on your computer.
I don't
those
keep
files
any
take
porn
a lot
on
of
my. Well,
yeah,
video,
honey, that's what Dropbox is for, bitch.
Yeah,
keep that on some kind of server somewhere else.
Oh, you stream, yeah. Honey.
I love my Google Drive. I keep all kinds of.
I
want to
see what's on your.
Oh, mostly videos of me doing comedy. So nothing you'd want to see. Trust me.
Oh, that's you're somebody.
You're your own chaser. Amanda, thank you so much.
Thanks
so
for
much
having
fun.
Me, guys. You're awesome.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.